All right, let's open back up to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we referenced this chapter last Sunday morning. Remember, we were talking about Samaria, and the Lord said here, don't go into any city of the Samaritans. And while I was studying that, I kept reading, and something stood out to me, so I thought we'd look at it tonight. Verse 11 says, "And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Our Lord is telling this to those whom He's called to preach. And I tell you what really struck me is the word worthy. He's telling those that He's called to preach. Okay, look at verse 7. He said, "As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then He told them in verse 8 to heal the sick. And in verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver. And verse 11, He says, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy." All right, now, verse 1 says, "When He called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." So when He called His 12 disciples, He said this to them. All right? Now turn with me over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and look at verse 1. It says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place whither He Himself would come. Therefore said He unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs unto among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out of the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." So He said the exact same thing to 70 more. All right, He said it to His 12, and then He said it to 70 more. Now, He recorded this to say the exact same thing to every single man who stands up and declares the truth. That's why He put this in His Word. So back to our text, Matthew chapter 10. In verse 11, He says, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter." And I have now entered Kingsport. All right? He says in verse 11, inquire. And in our concordance, that word means ask the people. Who in it is worthy? That's something, isn't it? If we can enter into that, that'll scare you. In whatever town or city you enter into, inquire who in it is worthy. So according to the commandment of our God, I'm going to ask you a question. And I strongly urge you not to answer me. Very strongly. But as I ask it out loud, I want you to ask yourself this question in your heart. Who in here is worthy? Who in here is worthy of the gospel? Who in here is worthy of the gift of God? Anybody? Anybody want to go first? Who in here is worthy of the peace of God, the Prince of Peace? Who in here is worthy of Jesus Christ? As I hear myself say that, my mind immediately answers, I'm not. I'm not. All right, now this is a convicting question, and I want to show you why. This text says some people are. This is where it gets shocking, okay? Look at verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. When you find the worthy ones, stay with them. Verse 12 says, and when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Our Lord is saying some people are worthy and some people are not. All right, now turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. The Sadducees are asking the Lord a question about a woman who married seven different brothers. Do you all know that story? A woman married seven different brothers. Okay, now look at Luke 20, verse 29. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner, the seven also, all seven of them. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Our Lord said, they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. All right, now go to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Accounted worthy. All right, now turn to Acts chapter 5. The apostles in this chapter were apprehended for preaching the gospel. And they brought them before a council. And Acts chapter 5, verse 40 says, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They were counted worthy to suffer shame. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He told the Colossians, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He told the Thessalonians, walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom of glory. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1:11, just listen to this. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. All right, now let me ask this question again. Who in here is worthy? Does that bring heart palpitations to anybody? I was studying this, and I know when the Lord reveals these things, sometimes the outline flashes before your eyes. And you're just hoping that the Lord will recall it to you, you know. And I knew what I wanted to say in the end of this, but while I was writing this out, I was nervous. I was nervous. I'd have to stand up and go, oh, this hurts just for a little bit. Are you worthy to suffer for Christ's sake? Are you worthy to walk before God, pleasing Him in His kingdom? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Now, here we are at the Renaissance Center. In just a few minutes, we're about to walk out of this building one of two ways. We're either going to walk out of here really sad because we just heard the worst news of our lives, or we're going to walk out of here really glad because we just heard the most relieving news of our lives. we heard the gospel. All right, let's examine ourselves. You ready for this? We're going to examine ourselves. Who is worthy? What are God's requirements to be worthy of Christ? What are His requirements to be worthy of His salvation? All of the requirements are in our text in Matthew 10. All right, let's go back to our text. Matthew chapter 10. The Lord told the apostles, I don't want you to go to the Samaritans. I don't want you to go to the way of the Gentiles. Verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. God's first requirement to be worthy is you got to be lost. I can be that. I can be that. I was pretty worried there for a minute. I can be a dumb, ignorant, lost sheep. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Outside of Jesus Christ, if you're left to yourself, if it's left up to you and your free will, can you make it on your own or not? Can you get there? Or are you lost? I'm lost. I'm lost. That song says, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. I'm lost. I'm blind. I don't know the way. I don't know what to do. Lord, don't leave me. I'm lost. I'm just lost. If you can honestly say that in your heart, there's a chance you might be worthy. You might be. Our Lord said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. You got to be lost first. All right, now let's look at our Lord's next requirement. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Our Lord said, heal the sick. In order to feel the healing touch of our Master's hand, in order to be worthy of the balm of Gilead, you got to be sick. You got to be. Turn over to Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then He said in verse 13, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. Go learn what that means. David learned what it meant. You think about David. Think about that blessed man. And I love him. Boy, he learned what it meant, didn't he? The Lord let him catch a glimpse of the condition that he was really in. Turn with me over to Psalm 38. Psalm chapter 38. Verse 1 says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Just sick. Lord, I'm sick. Is that you? You got to be sick. Our Lord's next requirement is in our text, verse 8. He told His 12 disciples, you go out, and in verse 8, cleanse the lepers. Who is worthy of the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Our Lord said, lepers are worthy. Now examine yourself. Do you see a little bit of good in you? Really? I heard that a lot. Some of these things are cliched, and you guys grew up in religion. Okay, and you heard a lot of things that I didn't hear growing up. To me, they're just cliched lines. But some of these things I heard a lot of people say, you know, there's a little bit of good in everybody. Is there a little bit of good in you? Or are you forced to cry, unclean? I'm unclean. Everybody who comes by, unclean. I'm unclean. From the sole of my foot to the crown of my head, I'm nothing but a filthy, rotting leper. That's all I am. If you can say that, you might be worthy of this healing. You might be. All right, let's look at the Lord's next requirement. Matthew 10, verse 8, He said, raise the dead. In order for a man or woman to be worthy to receive eternal life, in and of himself, in his own flesh, he's got to be dead. Got to be. Turn with me over to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Second Samuel chapter 9. Listen to the words of our brother Mephibosheth. Verse 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And Mephibosheth bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? He said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to give it all to you. And Mephibosheth said, I'm just a dead dog. Based on Scripture, do you know what he sounds like to me? Worthy. Worthy. Tell a man you're dead in your trespasses and sins. Tell somebody you work with. Let me tell you something, friend. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. No, I'm not. Well, then you're not worthy. Not worthy. Not worthy of eternal life in Christ. The Spirit of Christ quickens the dead. Got to be dead. Our Lord gave us one more requirement in this text. Back to Matthew chapter 10. In verse 8, He told His apostles to cast out devils. All right, now turn with me to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, verse 1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." What makes a sinner worthy to be delivered by the work of Jesus Christ? They've got to be held captive. You've got to be a captive. They've got to be captives of Satan and his army. If I am going to be worthy of deliverance, I must acknowledge that everything in me that is in my flesh is only evil continually. All right, now turn with me over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." He was telling that to the Pharisees. He was telling that to the people who show up in a suit and tie to Cheddar's for Sunday lunch. That's who he was telling it to. They said, "We're of Abraham." He said, "No, you're not. If you were of Abraham, you would love me. You're of your father, the devil. You're born of the devil, born into this world. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. What he's telling them is, you think you know what captivity is, but you have no idea. True captivity. Ephesians 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." You did whatever he told you to do. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Every sinner. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God." But God. If a person doesn't possess God's Holy Spirit, then he possesses some other kind of spirit. And every other spirit than God's Holy Spirit is an evil spirit. Back in John 8, don't turn there, our Lord said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What makes a person worthy of deliverance in Christ? What makes a person worthy of deliverance in Christ? "In them must dwell no good thing." No good thing. Back to our text now, Matthew chapter 10, verse 11 says, "Into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it." When you come into a house, salute it. That means you preach these things to that house. "And if the house be worthy," if that house is lost, and if they say, "We're lost," if they're sick, if the house is full of lepers, and thanks be to God, I think this house is. It's just full of lepers. People who cry unclean, they just walk out of here, "I'm unclean." They come in, "I'm unclean." They walk out, "I'm unclean." If the house knows that they're dead in their trespasses and sins, if the house is afflicted and tormented over their captivity to sin, then you speak peace unto that house. Peace be unto you. Because he said in verse 6, "Those are my lost sheep. Those are my sheep. The ones my Father gave to me before the foundation of this world." That's how you'll know my sheep. You go show my lost sheep the way. They wander in here. They're down the hallway. Everywhere. Here's the way. Tell my sick sheep about the great physician, Christ. You tell my sinful, leprous, vile sheep about their great shepherd who became sin for them. You tell my evil, tormented sheep that captivity has been led captive. You're free. You're free. Verse 13 says, "And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it, But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. If they say, I'm not lost, don't stand up there and tell me I'm lost. I've had different pastors tell me that somebody will come for a while, and after a while they'll come up to him and say, is all you're going to ever talk about is sin? Is that all you're ever going to talk about? Aren't you ever going to get past that? If they'd say, I'm not lost, they may be, but I'm not. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm good. I'm fine. I'm not sick. I'm past my sin. I was a leper. There was a guy who used to come in and tell me all the time, you have no idea what I used to be. But I'm past all that now. Don't tell me I'm dead. The devil ain't got nothing on me. He can't touch me. Oh, man. Verse 13, if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, if a house is worthy, it's only because He made that house worthy. Right? So let's ask this question one more time. Who is worthy? Turn with me to Revelation 5. Revelation 5, verse 1 says, And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. He's worthy. All right, let's stand together.